Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora. Or you can head on over to the website, AmericaOutLoud.com, and check out the articles and podcasts. Got a lot of stuff we're going to talk about tonight. And social media pundit and commentator Sean G is going to be joining us once again to hit a lot of subjects. And you guys want to stay tuned, because we are going to touch on a lot tonight. President Trump is suing big tech, which in my view is the number one source of election fraud we have in our country. All of us know full well about big tech censorship and how it can really affect the election process. And a lot of these candidates who have problems getting verified, getting shadow banned on Twitter. And then we've seen after the election, they completely shut down President Trump's free speech and did not allow him to even speak on the obvious election fraud that took place. Rob, what were your thoughts on President Trump's recent announcement that he will be suing big tech?
It's about time. I wish that Congress had done the same thing, or someone there. I've always said, go back, pull the files. I have always said that someone needs to bring up a lawsuit against these guys. Some attorney needs to have the balls to put together a lawsuit and sue them. Everyone's been afraid because they know that these guys have a lot of money and they can take a lawsuit and just tie it up in court. But someone's got to do it. I mean, some young law student who's brilliant should come out and say, no, what they're doing is wrong. We need to sue them. This whole thing with them being a private company and then shutting down people functioning like a public company, functioning like an arm of the government, censoring speech. Who are they to censor speech? Facebook is a zero. Facebook is a nobody. Jeff doesn't know anything about free speech, that he's going to assemble some little group of kids that just got out of college with milk still around their mouth to decide who can and can't be on the platform simply because they don't like your politics. And it's all about the politics. It's not about, well, you didn't obey our rules, because they make the rules up as they go. If you're going to allow other people on your platform from other countries, other presidents, dictators, and they talk about other people, you look at Iran, they're constantly talking about, let's kill Israel. Look at Farrakhan on Twitter, the comments that he make, not to mention the pornography that's there. And then you would have people putting in their biographies, please no porno. Or why are you even saying please no porno? Why are they even allowed to send porno? And they have a whole arm of Twitter that's just about that porno. But then they say, you're not following our guidelines, no porno. What the heck? And you mean to tell me an attorney, a lawyer, can't put together a lawsuit and say, wait a minute, you just said your terms and conditions, but look at what you're allowing. But you're going to silence the president of the free world because you said, well, we don't like what he's saying. And remember, before January 6th, before they kicked Trump off and a lot of his supporters, people were saying they should kick him off. They should silence him. Little did we know that they were going to do it. They were just waiting for the right time. It's bullshit. That's what it is. It's bullshit. So I'm glad he's going to sue. Now, more than likely, you'll get some activist judge who'll probably just turn it down. Okay, no class action. Then it falters away. Then it's just him, a private citizen, who's suing. But if the judge was being exercising jurisprudence and really looking at the law and not listening to Twitter as if though Twitter is the universe, the judge would say, let this go through and let's see what happens. We have got to gain back our country from these radicals that are out there. When Sean G was on with us before, he talked about the same thing. We have got to get our country back, because we have gotten just too far off the main line. I am not saying that we have to all think the same. We need to think differently, but we need to learn to compromise without trying to shut down someone that we don't like. Just imagine if conservatives were doing that. I hope we wouldn't do it. But just speaking of conservatives, we've lost so much ground by allowing liberals to take control of so much. And now we're here running around chasing our tail, trying to figure out what to do. Conservatives have money also. They should be out there building these platforms, but they're not. It's crazy how we're now at the mercy of these liberals. And you know they're not going to play fair. Sean, what do you think? What do you have to say on this? Because I can go on and on and on.
Yes, sir. Well, first of all, thanks for having me again, guys. It's always good to chat and hang out with you guys. But yeah, I mean, I would go along the same path that you're saying. It's like, yeah, it is about time. And it's about time that Trump and or somebody else stands up to these big tech companies that are just going way too far with what they are censoring or not censoring anyway. And as you mentioned, some, you know, really bad stuff like pornography is not being censored. Meanwhile, if you utter something utterly, you know, remotely conservative, well, of course, you're going to get, you know, some sort of punishment. I'm not even political on my Facebook page, but I've been suspended now a couple times just for like talking about stuff like criminals, you know, someone who had been like, a criminal in the local community involving children. Well, people need to know that if someone's like sex offender or, you know, something bad in that nature. Well, if you report on stuff like that, well, Facebook doesn't like that because it's talking about stuff that they are near and dear to. And that's the sad part of that, of this story. Now, what I did like, especially with that Trump said recently, was that, hey, next time Zuckerberg, I'm in the White House, you know, we're not going to have some fancy dinner like you asked me before. We're going to have some, you know, not fun meeting between the two of us kind of hammering out what we need to go over regarding your company. And I officially was not banned from Twitter. However, I've been off that for the last, say, 6 months for the very most part anyway. And I just kind of lost interest in it. Now, I guess the good news is that, like, you know, I'm more productive in real life because of not being on social media so much. And, you know, the Twitter page can be consuming. But, you know, it certainly someone needs to stand up to these big tech companies because they are going too far. Too many people are getting banned. And for the dumbest reasons, people are getting banned just like us.
Yeah, we talk about some of the stuff that is allowed on these platforms. You guys were talking about pornography. You've got Louis Farrakhan making anti-Semitic comments towards Jews, and he was not penalized. You've got terrorists from other countries making threats of violence, and they do not get penalized. But President Trump had the gall to bring up that the election was not on a level playing field, and immediately they suspended him and over 70,000 of his followers right after January 6th. And it's just unbelievable the amount of censorship that these social media companies have gotten away with, and it's got to stop.
It definitely has to stop. And like you said, just when he brought up the whole thing with the election being stolen, and how people just went nuts. How dare he talks against the country? Well, you folks don't even like the country. So what do you care what he's saying? Maybe he's pointing out something that's truthful. Now you want to become patriots when he says the election was stolen. There's no integrity. Oh, how dare he says it about the election. There's integrity with the election. It just didn't turn out his way. How could he say that? Well, you guys said it for the past 4 years when he won in 2016. And before then, 12 years before then, when Bush won, you guys said the exact same thing. And then before then, it seems like to me that every time a Republican has won, the Democrats have challenged the election and put the country through a complete turmoil trying to figure out what happened. And then with one election, whereby we see that there were so many discrepancies, one election where judges were behaving like legislatures and making rules and they shouldn't have been doing, one election where people were finding ballots in trucks, up under beds, mailboxes, warehouses, one election when they decided to shut down everything because there was a water main break in Georgia and people are tired in Ohio, so we've got to send them home. And then in Pennsylvania, oh, well, the person who was counting the votes up got sick, so we had to just shut everything down. One election, all these discrepancies, all these weird things were taking place, and we're to believe that it was okay. And because we're questioning it, we're going to kick you off the platform. Oh, and by the way, there was an insurrection January 6th. An insurrection? Well, tell me what happened in the spring and summer of 2020 when you allowed your platforms to be used to galvanize people, to get people together, to go out and destroy state and federal property, to burn down a police station, hoping that the policemen were inside, to attack police cars, to attack policemen, law enforcement, to go up and take over parts of downtown Oregon, take over parts of New York City, near City Hall, and put graffiti all over the place saying, kill the pigs, marching through towns. How were they able to do it? They were able to do it by organizing on social media. And you want to tell me that if I send out a tweet pointing out your contradictions, you're going to kick me off the platform. You're going to shut me down because I violated the rules. And you can't say anything because this is a private company. They can do whatever they want to do. Bullshit. Yes, I said it. It makes absolutely no sense. And the fact that no one, as I said earlier on, wanted to challenge them on it and to call them out and to say, this is wrong. Why are you going to take him off and not this person? Were you taking me off because I was a Black man? A Black man who was independently thinking? Are you going to leave on the liberal white man? I think that's discrimination. So many ways an attorney could have taken this and filed a lawsuit, but they were afraid of big tech. We're afraid because they have all this money. We might get canceled. And can you blame them? Look how hard it was for President Trump to get good lawyers to even hear different cases. People were afraid. And they were telling them, if you take this case, we're going to come to your home. We're going to release your information. We're going to dox you. And people will be at your front door. And because the police are afraid to do anything, we're going to make certain that the mayor tell the police to stand down. This is America. Why aren't people up in arms? This is Nazi Germany revisited. And we're told that it's okay. There's nothing to see. It will get better. No, it won't get better. It has gotten worse. So President Trump had to do what he was doing. And we can only hope that the judge who has to sign off in this saying that, yes, this is a class action lawsuit, will sign off on it. Or will we get a judge who is a coward judge, a judge who will demonstrate that our justice system is corrupt because he doesn't want President Trump to have his day in court. So he won't sign it. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope to God it doesn't happen, because we need to show Americans that the justice system is for all and there is no two separate standards and judgments, just one justice system. I hope to God that this case is able to move forward. So many people have been damaged by this. Doctors who use social media to talk about different medical devices or medical situations, canceled, kicked off of YouTube, harming their practices, off of Google, suppressing the fines when you Google them. And you want to tell me this is fair? You want to tell me these are private companies and they can do what they want to do? Albeit Google is a public company, but their business practice in doing this, they need to be broken up. I'm not for the government coming in and interfering in cases like that, but sometimes you got to do something about it, because they're not going to self-patrol or police themselves. So when they don't do it, we have to do it. It's gotten to this. It really has. So
yeah, well said, Rob. Hopefully we don't get one of these activist judges like that you said. And that social media is also responsible for this narrative that we've seen come and be pushed since January 6th, that the boogeyman is coming, that the QAnon shaman with horns is going to be in a city near you, burning it down. A large part of this narrative, I believe, was shifted by big tech and the complete censorship of President Trump and his supporters right after January 6th took place. Sean, what have been your thoughts on what we've seen from big tech, the mainstream media, and their fake narrative on January 6th?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, it's really become one of those talking points that I'd like to go back to, saying, oh, this happened on January 6th. What a horrible day. This insurrection, blah, blah, blah. And they keep hammering that away when, you know, as we know, as we further the research, that these were people, many people that were Antifa, dressed up as Trump supporters, causing chaos. And, you know, as you had mentioned before, Rob, you know, that was just one day. Well, what about 2020? All pretty much last year in places like Portland, you know, that seems to have been gotten overlooked and has been labeled, quote unquote, a peaceful protest. Now, what's funny is regarding things like Facebook, the newest thing just this past week on Facebook was like, it would say, hey, do you know that maybe one of your friends might be an extremist? If so, please tell us, please report this. You know, it's confidential between us. But if you know a friend who is extremist, well, you have a way of informing us this. And that, you know, while that's very laughable, this is serious stuff that they're going to try to do to get that person either suspended or banned. And, you know, it continues that process. The 4th of July was a big one too, right? Well, you know, because we celebrated Independence Day, the 4th of July for America. But of course, the narrative changed because they said, well, not everybody was free on, you know, July 4th, 1776, meaning, of course, that slavery was not outlawed yet and that not everybody should celebrate that particular day. Just another example of them trying to ignite the race war, and that how it's, you know, it's racist if you were celebrating this holiday, racist if you're celebrating anything American or with that flag. And it's gotten so far extreme, so far out of control, that it's just, you know, you just have to laugh at some of it now, how much they tried to stoke the fire as far as, you know, trying to turn somebody into a racist because they support the country, that they support President Trump, that they support things like freedom and, you know, common sense rights, you know, the rights to own a gun, the rights to freedom of speech, Amendment number one of all things. But, you know, that's the battle that's ongoing and continues to rage on as they keep trying to take away things. And social media is one of the big things that, you know, the platforms are taking away from people. And that's why we have to go to alternative forms of social media. Right now, I go to a place called Telegram, but that could change if that gets shut down too. And we all adapt as you all have as well.
Yeah. And some of the stuff that's coming out about January 6th at this point is just borderline ridiculous. We've got this story that's came out recently that the FBI pushed, and of course, mainstream media was all over it, that investigators, they raided somebody's house that was at January 6th, and they found a fully assembled U.S. Capitol Lego toy set, and they called him a riot leader, that they found this toy set in his home. This just sounds completely ridiculous. What are they acting like? This guy had the whole Capitol mapped out in a Lego set and was like practicing demolitions or something. Rob, what do you make of this media narrative about January 6th that we've seen be complete BS since the beginning?
Well, you initially mentioned that to me about the Lego set. I was trying to connect the dots. Like, okay, where are they trying to go with this? So it seems that they're trying to say that this guy had put together a Lego set of the Capitol. And I guess he was going to use that as his blueprint to maneuver around the Capitol to, I guess, create an insurrection. I mean, only in the minds of a liberal, they have gone that low, stooped that low to try and tie things together. I mean, they could have just said, well, we went to some guy's house and he had drawn a map of the White House, but a Lego? Oh my God, I better go look at my kid's Lego set and make sure that he's not creating anything that looks like the Capitol, anything remotely looking like the Capitol, or they might come and question him and he's only 7 years old. These people are insane. It's ridiculous. What do I think about it? Again, BS. That's what I think about it. But I want to just backtrack to what Sean was saying about Facebook and this new little thing that they have whereby you can alert them if you think that your friend is becoming an extremist. Really? So now you want us to tell off on our neighbors, on our friends. Where did we see that happening last time? Nazi Germany. If your neighbor is Jewish or a Jewish sympathizer, please let us know. And what did people do? They squealed like pigs. The same thing in China, Maoism. If your neighbor isn't doing what he's supposed to do, please let us know so we could go and round them up. Now it's Facebook. Now, if too many people start calling in on their friends who happen to be Muslims or of Arab descent, they will probably shut that down. Nope, don't want it anymore. You're pointing out too many radicals, too many in the Arab world, too many Muslims. We're going to shut that down. But not only that, let's look at this a little closer. They want you to squeal on your friends. But don't be surprised next if they have a little button that says, if your friend hasn't taken the China virus vaccine, please let us know. Because we already see now that President Biden is planning on getting a group of people together to go from door to door knocking and saying, have you been vaccinated? Well, we can do it right now. Really? This is like that George Orwell book, 1894, I think it is, or 1984. What the heck is happening in this country? And people are sitting back like it's nobody's business, okay with it. You have people that you thought were level-headed people who are freaking out if someone hasn't had the vaccine and they've had the vaccine. Like, dude, what is your problem? You've had the vaccine. Remember, they told you if you get the vaccine, you're okay. Don't worry about it. The other person hasn't gotten it. So why are you freaking out? I have a friend who's like completely going bonkers because, well, I don't want to get on the plane if I've had the vaccine and I'm sitting next to someone who hasn't had it. Yeah, but you've had the vaccine. What's your problem? No, they can't tell you what their problem is. They're just getting nuttier and nuttier by the minute. Because Joe Biden's administration is telling them everybody needs a vaccine. And that Dr. Fraud, man, I don't like him. I never liked him. I always felt that there was something up with him. And now we see the guy's nothing but a China operative. And Andrew and Sean, my fear is that if we don't get the right people in the White House in 2022, and when I see the right people, people that are down with MAGA, not necessarily Trump, but down with MAGA, because we don't need any wishy-washies. We need people that are down with the cause, because if they're not, we will never get to the bottom of all this. Never, ever. And we need people that are going to go in and turn this thing around. And as I've said before, and some people will say that I'm a bit of a radical when I say this, but I mean it. I sincerely mean this. What needs to happen is that we need to get people in office in 2022 and 2024, not just at the federal level, but the state level and the local levels, so that we can identify all of those individuals who were going against this great country, spreading lies, shutting down people when they were speaking truth to power about the virus, speaking truth to power about what happened on January 6th, speaking truth to power about those government officials that were spying on Americans. They're probably spying on me. They're probably spying on you, Andrew. They're probably spying on you, Sean. They're probably looking at my email. And if they're looking at my email, they probably see a big FU on mine. But if we don't get the right people in office who can shine a light on this and then round up all of those individuals, well, this is when people are going to say, wait a minute, hold on, but I'm serious about this. Round up all of those individuals who were going against this country and cart them out and throw them in jail. That is what needs to happen. I will always stand by that. We need to get tough and serious, because if we don't, we will lose this country. I want the Nancy Pelosi's. I want the Chuck Schumer's. I want the AOC, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib. I even want Mitt Romney, Adam Kinzinger, and Liz Cheney all marched out front and handcuffs and put in jail, because what they have done to this country is nothing short of treason. They are the true insurrectionists. I want them all out of the heel. We need to have a complete purge. Get them all out. And if it goes all the way to Barack Obama and Michelle, so be it. Cuff them, put them away. Also, if it includes Bill Barr, Christopher Wray, because that is the only way you can eradicate the country of these treasonous individuals. When you sit down and you think about what we're going through now, and also throw in Randy Weingartner, who's the head of the teachers union, throw her in there also. That's just a waste of human air right there. I want all of them carted off, sent away, locked up. I don't care what else happens to them. That's it. Call me a radical. I don't care. But until we get to the bottom of this and to a major purge, big tech, Jeff, his wife, all of them. Now, that might be going a little too far. But if you don't, the children will act out. Jack Dorsey, cart him off. Get them all out of here. I could care less. I would sleep better. I wouldn't even shed a tear. I want them all out. They stink. They have ruined this country, or they're ruining the country with their socialist ways. Out. Be gone with you. Off. Out of here.
Well said. You are tuned in to After Dark with Robin Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more hot topics on After Dark with Robin Andrew.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutLoud.com. Simply put, we're patriots who believe in Ronald Reagan's vision of a shining city on a hill. From sea to shining sea, you can listen in on iHeartRadio. Our free apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa, or our world-class media player. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Guys, I don't know if you can tell or not, but I've had my dose of Healthy Cell, and it has me on fire. My cognitive ability, my physical ability, my emotional ability, my acuity. I mean, I'm on target tonight. I am fired up, and I am on all cylinders, and maybe they are firing off. So if you are interested in having this great feeling that I'm having, go to HealthyCell.com. Use the code OUTLOUD and get 20% off of your first order on any of the products. And by the way, you might want to send a box to Joe Biden, because I think he definitely needs some. So that being said, let's just get back to our topics here, because we were on fire, like I said, during the first segment. This segment still on fire, but we're going to like kind of pivot just a little bit and talk about pop culture. Because there's a lot of crazy stuff that's taking place there. And that's what we do on After Dark. We cover the politics, we cover health issues, and we're going to even have a segment on grilling, barbecuing and grilling, because I understand we have a lot of grill masters that are out there. They want to hear how we grill. So we're going to talk about that as well. And, you know, anything else you guys want to talk about, send us a message and we'll talk about it. But pop culture first. Let's see, who should we go with? Britney Spears. I don't know what you guys think about her or what's going on with her, or if you've been following the story. My heart kind of goes out to her from a human element, knowing that this woman has been like pretty much in prison and forced to work white slavery and support her family. Sounds a little bit like Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. Hunter is forced to pay his dad's bills. Similarities, huh? But with Britney, she's on a conservative ship. She can't control her own finances. And according to Britney, she can't even control her own reproductive system. Now, you would think that these women groups would be out there protesting and taking off their bras and wearing these pussy hat cat hats and all this other stuff, saying, oh, free Britney, free Britney. But it's not happening. Every once in a while, someone will come out and say, oh, that's not fair. And then they'll go away. Then someone else will come out and say, go away. But they're not behind her, in my opinion, 100%. What do you say, Sean and Andrew?
Yeah, well said. And I think that, you know, with the example of Britney Spears, I mean, things started for her back when she was a child star. She got her start on the Mickey Mouse Club as a young girl with the Disney Channel, right? And then it was known back then that she could sing, dance, do whatever. And then later on, if you recall, it was just over 20 years ago when she hit the MTV scene with Baby One More Time. And that got everybody's heads to go look in that direction, right? And, you know, she was the teen sensation because she was barely, I guess, 18 at that time. You know, she was on top of the world, basically. And then later on, she had a highly publicized romance with none other than Justin Timberlake. Well, they had a bad breakup. And then since then, their careers went in different trajectories. Justin Timberlake, he blew up. Meanwhile, she seemed to kind of get fizzled out anyway. You know, she had her experience with K-Fed, Kevin Federline. Remember that dude? And, you know, that didn't go over so well. And then, you know, this situation with her family, which is really, you know, first of all, sad because overall, Britney seems like a good, genuine person who's just trying to, you know, to do her thing. But so much control is lost through people like her family and others. That's like, you know, it's really caused some sort of, you know, real chaos, some real, you know, it's a real dire situation for her. And it reminds me of like anybody who was a child star, going back to the days of somebody like Michael Jackson, right? Michael Jackson was the most talented musician, dancer I've ever seen, right? And, you know, but he was a child star. He got, you know, he had issues with his family. His family was very controlling, especially his father. And then as an adult, things kind of got, they spiraled out of control for him as well. And, you know, in many ways, it's a sad situation for a lot of these child stars or former child stars, you know, with the people trying to pull your strings and how conflicted that they really have become.
Yeah, if you watch that documentary Wonderland on HBO, things really spiraled out of control for Michael Jackson, it sounded like. But I've got a different take on the Britney Spears thing than you two guys do. I personally don't feel sorry for her. She was obviously brought up in this crazy and deranged Hollywood environment. But you remember around that time when she had her kids, she had them taken away from her. She shaved her head. She showed a lot of signs of being mentally ill. And I obviously did not watch the full court case, but I listened to what the judge said. And they said a lot of her commentary was still signs of mental illness. So it seems to me like Britney Spears is probably just a mentally ill person. And I don't feel sorry for her because she's still living in her Beverly Hills mansion and she's still living a rich celebrity pampered life. So my pity for her is very slim.
You know, Andrew, I hear what you're saying as far as, you know, very slim, but at the same time, this is an adult. And yeah, she's living in her mansion. She's doing all this, but she should be allowed to make her own decisions. I don't care if she gets her money, she runs through it, and then she's broke the next day. What about the people on the streets right now, the homeless people? If we're so concerned about people wasting their money away, wasting their lives away, why don't we go outside and take care of the homeless people? Why don't we give them a conservatorship? Why don't we force them to take their medicine so that I don't have to step over their crap when they're crapping out in the public, smelling their feces and their urine and watching them run around butt naked sometimes here in New York City? Why don't we give them a conservatorship? Why don't we say they can't do it? So we're going to allow the government to take control of their lives and put them in a home and force them to take their medicine. Why is it that Britney Spears has to go through this? Is it because she is a multimillionaire and the dad is looking at, hey, this is my money wagon, so I'm going to make the case look as bad for her as much as possible? So the judge saying that from looking at her commentary, you know, she's still deranged. And look at the homeless people. They're deranged also. I don't see you out there trying to get them conservatorship. I just think this is another way of our government picking and choosing or not the government, but our laws, picking and choosing and trying to decide who we're going to save and who we're not going to save. If Britney Spears is going to be given complete reign of her life, give it to her. And if she throws away all the money, so be it. She'll be out on the streets with the others. And then the judge can go in and say, okay, let me see how I can take care of her. But he won't do that because he knows that she's paying her dad's bills. She's paying a couple of lawyers. And those couple of lawyers are probably giving the judge kickbacks. Don't doubt that these lawyers don't know who the judge is because she was unable, or she's been unable to choose her own lawyers. It's all through the conservatorship. And having been in finance, I see how some of these lawyers will work. Though, okay, I'm going to take this on. Or with a conservatorship, sometimes banks are appointed conservatives over different accounts. They will go out, they will get the attorneys. It's going to work in their interest and not necessarily the interest of the individual. So they're going to work in the interest of the bank, making certain that they're charging fees that the bank will get their money, they'll get their money. And then they'll go and find a judge who will agree with them. And these judges don't exercise jurisprudence. We would like to think that they do. But we saw that again during the election. I have to hate to go back to that, but we saw it exercised then when different judges would hear cases. In some cases, they wouldn't hear. It's the same situation. You have judges that are biased. So you get this team together that's going to work directly against the interest of the individual, and they're only doing it because of the money. She is a golden goose, so why get rid of it? But at the same time, I will say, from listening to the case, she never once said or argued, or her attorneys presented a case to say, remove the conservatorship. She only complained about it. Now, you would think that the attorneys would have done that. They would have said, okay, we're presenting this case because we want to remove the conservatorship, but they didn't. So now they're going back and they're going to make that request. Now, either they didn't know to do it, they didn't know that's what she wanted, or they just didn't do it because, hey, there's more money for us. So these guys are really shady in their actions. And I don't think she has really good representation. And again, I fault the judge because the judge should have seen that and said, okay, Ms. Spears, you should get better attorneys, and the court will make a recommendation, or the court will pick someone to work in your behalf to help you choose an attorney. That didn't even happen. So it led me to believe that there is something more here than meets the eye, and they need to get rid of that judge, and she needs to go before another judge, and she needs better counseling.
Yeah, I think this conservatorship may be in her best interest. I think the difference between her and homeless people is homeless people don't have any assets to hang on to hold over their head. Britney Spears has got millions of dollars. If this conservatorship, if her father's being responsible with her money, she's going to, when Britney Spears eventually passes away, she'll have millions of dollars to hand down to her children, which she might otherwise not have if it were not for the court's looking out for her best interest and keeping her under this conservatorship, because she clearly has mental issues in my mind.
Mental issues, but I'm still from the school of thought that she's an adult and she should be able, regardless of the money. If she didn't have any money, do you think there would be a conservatorship? Absolutely not. They're draining this woman of all her money, plain and simple. I mean, because if she gets all this money and if she blows it away, okay. And she probably has a trust anyway. She probably has trust for these kids. But what I was disturbed by, I don't know if you heard this, Sean, is that her ex-husband, Kevin Federline, also came out and said, well, I think that she should undergo a psychological exam. I'm like, dude, what do you care? You're not married to her anymore. But he's looking at, hey, this is money. She's my the goose who laid the golden egg. And I want to make certain that I keep getting money from her.
As I'd mentioned earlier, it all went downhill when she broke things off with Justin Timberlake. Then Justin's career went off, and then she was doing stuff with Kevin Federline, like was one of her backup dancers, and things just spiraled downhill after that. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's a fate changed when she or they decided to break up between her and Justin Timberlake.
Yep. So Britney Spears, good luck with whatever happens. I don't know what they're going to do about it, but, you know, it is unfortunate. It's unfortunate for a lot of these teen singers, actresses that get out there, especially for young girls, as soon as they hit puberty, as soon as they hit 16, if they started out in the bubblegum era, people now want them to become a woman, and they've got to do something that's really seductive so that men can start having wet dreams about them, because when they're kids, you got to leave them alone. Once they get 16, all bets are off. Once they get 18, we want you to show us your boobs and everything else. And that's pretty much was her trajectory. She started out bubblegum, 16, she started getting kind of wanky, 18, like you said, she did that song and people were like, whoa, she's, like she said, I'm not that innocent. Okay, now we can play around with her. We can have dreams about her. But it didn't work because she was still a kid trying to grow up. And when you're trying to grow up in the under a spotlight, you look at Lindsay Lohan. Look at what happened to her. Look at Tara Reid. I mean, it's a lot of pressure. And the entertainment industry is not forgiving. And they're just going to keep pushing you because for them, you are just meat and they want to make money off of you. I would say one person whom I think is handling all this really well is the track runner, Shakara Richardson. You know, guys, she made a mistake. She admitted it. She owned up to it. Now it could cause her a spot on the Olympic team, but she has not once came out and said, woe is me. They're not treating me fairly. She said, I knew what I was doing. I did it. It's unfortunate. Now I've got to pay the price. Now, I think she'll be okay if she keeps her head on. I think she has a long career ahead of her. She's extremely fast. I wonder if I could race her, if I would beat her. I always think about that when I see these guys and girls that are running. I'm like, because I run pretty fast myself, just in case you guys didn't know. I can run pretty fast. So I always envision myself like on the track with them running to see how much speed I can get. They would probably blow me out. But, you know, I get all this wishful thinking. But that being said, what do you guys think about Shakara?
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree with you again, Rob. I would love for her to be able to represent the country. And I heard she's an amazing runner. It would have been nice to see her, but she knew the rules going in, and she did still smoke pot and fail her drug test, which has been a rule in the Olympics since the beginning of time. And it's like, as you said, it's not just Black athletes that have had to deal with this. It's white athletes as well. Hopefully she gets it together and can race in the future and can stop these temptations that she obviously had.
Well, hey, you're agreeing with me. You're not disagreeing, because I agree also she shouldn't be allowed to run. I mean, she admitted it. I'm proud of the fact that she has admitted what she did.
She shouldn't have done it in the first place.
Shouldn't have done it. No, I agree completely. Should not have done it, you know?
Yeah.
And why would you do it? I mean, it's like a lapse in judgment. You know what you're doing. Maybe she wasn't ready for all of that attention. You know, some people, they're not ready for it, and they will purposely do things that will side rail them. I mean, what were you saying, Sean?
Well, I mean, I think first of all, I would agree with you guys. It's like, you know, she knows the rules. You have to comply with those rules. Now we can have a separate argument saying, well, it's getting kind of silly regarding weed, because it's like, should weed become legalized everywhere? Well, I think so, because overall, I think it's pretty harmless. However, those are the rules, and those are the rules set in place. If you recall back in his day, Michael Phelps, he won all these goals, and then there was a viral scene of him caught smoking a bong somewhere. And it's like, well, hey, that dude, it was after the Olympics, celebrating a bit, but it's funny how something like that is kind of highlighted, and it cost him at least some endorsements anyway. And think about this coming Olympics, which is happening in about another month or so, right? This is in Japan. They have now added COVID restrictions. So the masks and the distancing are back on there because of this Delta variant, right, in Japan. And think about how woke this Olympics is going to be and how many incidents of athletes, probably our own athletes in America, are going to do something disrespectful to our country or our flag. And we're going to see it on TV. Or maybe we're not going to see it because viewers aren't going to turn into that. That's a question that remains to be seen, and we're going to find out soon.
In America, you have all this freedom. You can do whatever you want to do. You can go and you can protest, which to me is really sad. Now, going back to weed, okay, to each his own. I've never smoked the stuff. I don't like smelling the stuff. I hate it. I hate it when they started legalizing it, because whenever I walk the streets, I have to smell that odor. Like, come on. I don't want to smell it. But, you know, some people, I mean, they like it, just like with alcohol. Some people like, you know, drinking stuff, but I don't have to smell that. Why do I have to smell weed? It's not fair to me. It's not fair to my nose. I mean, it's just like with smoke. The 1.0, everybody can smoke. And then people got turned on. Oh, I don't want to smoke. My clothes smell like smoke. So stop smoking. It's going to kill you. Secondhand smoke, I don't know about that. I mean, I think if you are smoking, I think it's the luck of the draw. Some people can smoke a lifetime, never get sick. Some people, they smoke for about 2 years, bam, lung cancer. That being said, I don't want to smell it. I don't want my clothes smelling like smoke. Just like I don't want to smell freaking weed. I mean, can they put some type of aromatic stuff in it so that you don't have to have that odor? I encounter some people, and as soon as they walk up, I'm like, oh my God, what is that odor? So people walk around the streets of New York City just like lighting up, and you go around the corner and there it is. Like I said, to each his own. I just don't like the smell. I find it extremely disgusting. So that's my take on the weed bit. Yeah, hate that stuff.
Yeah, the smell is quite prevalent here in Illinois ever since they legalized it. And personally, I don't have a big problem with it being legalized either. People smoking weed, I feel like people should be able to do whatever they want to do in their own home. But the rules against weed are still proper in a lot of situations, in my view, which what I mean is, like, for example, if you work at a factory and you're operating heavy machinery and you're drug tested, it's a good idea to test for weed and situations like that. So it just can't be an open gambit for anyone can smoke weed anytime they want, no matter what they're doing. You still got to have these rules. And the Olympics, you got to remember, it's a worldwide stage, not just a American stage. And in a lot of these countries, they still have very severe penalties for marijuana.
Stiff penalties. I think the penalties are ridiculous. Oppressive, designed and created by the Democrats to punish Black people, because as we said, Black people are always using weed and whatnot, and now they want to blame it on the Republicans. Go figure. Next topic, ESPN, Rachel Nichols and Maria Taylor. Now, I have seen these women on TV. I can't tell you who's good, who's not good. I do know, I found out that Rachel Nichols is the daughter-in-law of the late, great Mike Nichols, who was a director who directed the movie Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. He also married Diane Sawyer. So Diane Sawyer is Rachel's stepmother-in-law. Rachel has come out earlier on. She was extremely woke. She was down with the cause. And she was on the bandwagon saying that the All-Star Game should leave Black Atlanta and go to white Colorado, which has very extremely repressive voting election laws, but that they should leave. Now, if you were to ask her, are you aware that their election laws are a lot stricter than Atlanta? She wouldn't know that. But in her mind, oh, leave, because these guys, they're just horrible. Black Atlanta, mad at Georgia, taking jobs from the Blacks and moving them to white Colorado. She was down with it. But now that the wokeness is hitting her, she ain't down no more. She's like, I don't like that. That ain't right. No, I think she's entitled to her opinion. I don't think what she said was racist at all. She was speaking the truth, because it is not fair if they're going to sideline her and bring in her colleague who happens to be Black just to give her more time, so that ESPN, who has a problem hiring different people, they've had a problem before. You look at their history, it's just a complete turmoil there. I mean, at one point, ESPN was low-key. But now, as of lately, with all this wokeness, people are leaving like 1, 2, 3. There's a revolving door. People are at each other. I don't know what the heck is going on over there. What do you guys say?
Yeah, I mean, I think good points on that. I mean, you know, because ESPN has gotten so woke that, you know, they're literally trying to fill every position with some sort of minority, regardless whether that person is the best candidate for that position. And it's been a downward spiral for ESPN in the last decade, probably a couple decades even. Just their wokeness is really destroying themselves. So what happens is your top talent leaves for other venues, because there's more and more options now for somebody that was like big on ESPN. You know, Fox Sports built something else, you know, on its own right. The NFL network has its own network. MLB has its own network. NBA has its own network. Golf has its own network. These guys are fleeing to other places. Now, certainly some of those other places have their own set of wokeness, but I mean, they have fled the ship that's ESPN, and it's a sinking ship. And, you know, it continues to be that way. And, you know, it continues to destroy itself. And it's gotten to the point where I think Nichols made a good point. It's like, you know, she found herself the wrong color at the wrong time on the wrong network. So what happens next for her? She's going to pop up somewhere else on a different venue that's going to hire her and give her a big contract. And hopefully things turn out the best for her as far as that goes. But, you know, so much talent has left that network. It's destroyed itself. And as you mentioned, if you're going to leave Atlanta with the MLB All-Star game, okay, you know, first of all, you shouldn't have done that because of all like these minority neighborhoods that are there, they're losing business because of this. But like, as you said, you're going to Colorado, which is way whiter than Atlanta and has some of these same election laws. So you're not solving the problem by moving your All-Star game from Atlanta to Colorado. You're actually just making things worse because you're causing more polarization. And, you know, that's on MLB, first of all, and their own woke commissioner and some of the bad stuff that he's got going on now with his woke league and the rule changes he's made with Major League Baseball. I don't know if you've been following, but like it's terrible. Doubleheaders are now 7 innings per game. You know, they're in the extra innings. They start with a runner on second base, just in some effort to speed up the game. And now they're cracking down on these substances that pitchers use. It's just gotten out of control with their wokeness and other things.
Why can't they leave anything alone? I mean, they have to ruin everything. America's pastime, baseball. It's literally been around for over 100 years at a big level. And here we are in 2021, changing all the rules. As for Rachel Nichols, it's a great example of go woke and you end up looking like a joke. I mean, this Rachel Nichols, she was a she was a prominent supporter of Black Lives Matter. She was a prominent supporter of Major League Baseball moving the All-Star game. And here you have it where she's feeling a little bit of discrimination against her. And she's not as down for the cause as she thought she was. It's a pretty funny example to see this happen to one of these woke liberals that she doesn't, she's maybe not as for workplace diversity as that she thought she was. And maybe she feels like she was more qualified for the job. Personally, I think she's got a very annoying voice and I'm happy that she got demoted. From what I've seen, the other girl does do a better job. But the fact remains is Rachel Nichols already did have the job. They did replace her. So, I think she was absolutely right in what she said. However, I do not feel sorry for her, and it's me laughing at her now.
Yep. Well, no, we're coming up on the end of the show. I want to talk about one more thing before we just completely shut down. And that is Andrew Cuomo, my governor's daughter, Michaela Cuomo, recently came out earlier on, I think back in June, she came out and said that she was, I think, bisexual, or she didn't know what sex she was, what gender she was. Now she's coming out and she's saying that she's demisexual.
Oops, she figured it out.
Well, I haven't figured it out because I'm like, what the heck is that? So I went online trying to look it up, and lo and behold, they threw at me all these different options of the different sexes that a person could be. I'm like, no, where have I been hiding? I never knew about any of this. And just a few of them, there's something called an agender, a person whose agender does not identify with any particular gender, or they may have no gender at all. Pull your pants down, pull down your underwear, look between your legs, and that might solve the problem for you. And then there's a bigender, a person who identifies as having two genders. People who are bigender often display cultural, masculine, and feminine roles. Cultural? What about just basic science? Okay, that's not cultural. Jeez, only here in the Western culture did they come up with this stupid stuff. You go to China and you pull that crap, they'd kick your butt out of there. Butch, women, especially lesbians, tend to use this term to describe the way they express masculinity. Oh my God. This is insane. Cisgender, a person who identifies with the sex that they were assigned at birth. So I guess I'm a cisgender because I identify as being a male that they were assigned. It wasn't assigned to me. I was born with it. Like you, I don't even want to finish this. This is stupid. You see how they go in and they change up all this stuff to what they want as opposed to reality. And then they tell us to follow the science. But when it's time for them to follow the science, it's like, oh, no way. I can't follow the science. Are you serious? I've got to make this crap up. I got to make it sexy. Cisgender, demisexual. I can't wrap my arms around this. This is just plain downright insanity. These people need to see a psychiatrist and a psychologist. And what's unfortunate is that the psychiatrist and psychologist who don't believe in this crap, their voices aren't heard. You have the liberals. I remember seeing once on 60 Minutes with them talking about transgenders. And we had a guest on here talking about it, Andrew. It's completely crazy. What do you guys say? Because I don't want to be the only person getting hate mail. So I want to bring you guys in here also. So come on, have at it. What do you say about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, you've really touched upon the real madness of things, right? And how everything has its own, you know, so many more genders now and sexualities and sexual orientations, right? When I was younger, okay, we were, you know, as far as kids goes, right? A common group of kids where most of them ended up being heterosexual. There were some that ended up being homosexual, and that's perfectly fine, right? No one, you know, people understood that. People seemed to know. No one seemed to have an issue with that. The problem is nowadays is that, like, you've got kids not only questioning their own sexuality, but they're questioning their own gender. And that's the real difficult part of this. And now you're filling these kids up with the pronouns, right? Instead of calling you he or him, I need to call you they or them, as Andrew told me to call him they or them before this podcast, right? But you know, in seriousness, it's gotten way too out of hand anyway. And there's just so much confusion that I can't even explain or understand any of this stuff, right? And I don't really know that this helps their cause. I mean, it's like they're pushing everything, you know, transgender to children. Well, it's like, well, that's not healthy, first of all. And that's, you know, that shouldn't be these thoughts in these kids' heads, not at that age. If you're going to do something like change your gender, you need to be a full-fledged adult and really have a thought process explaining that. But even then, it's like, it's weird. You know, I mean, Bruce Jenner, we know his story, Caitlyn Jenner, and, you know, but he did his as a full-grown adult and someone with everybody seemed to know, and he, she, they, them is fine with that and seemed to be doing okay for him herself. And so, I mean, hey, more power to Caitlyn if that's the route you're going to take. But like, you know, it's starting way too young with parents pushing this on kids or the left or whoever else. It's just gotten to be insanity.
Yeah, this woke culture and cancel culture is going to hit a boiling point and I believe blow up in the left's face at some point. It's a great show tonight. Thank you to our guest, Sean G, for joining us. If you want to follow him on Twitter, follow at SeanG927. Thank you, Sean. Thank you for joining us tonight on After Dark with Robin Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. We will see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.